For those of us old enough to remember it, there's a special place in the pantheon of pranks for Abby Hoffman and his band of yippies, who created a stampede on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange by sprinkling small denomination bills from the visitors' gallery. It was an agitprop tour de force that said more about the relationship between capitalism and greed than a 10-foot shelf of economics books. In tribute, the Stock Exchange subsequently installed bulletproof glass. But our society has too many chinks, too many contradictions, as we used to say, to stop the satirists with a few layers of Lexan. A more recent but equally beloved prank occurred in 1993, when activists from the BLO, the Barbie Liberation Organization, placed 300 talking Barbies and G.I. Joes back on the shelves of the stores from which they'd been purchased after first swapping the voice boxes.
What has happened to Barbie? She's the talk of G.I. Joe.
Come home! Direct fire at that Cobra Squad!
Let's make plans for the weekend!
Since the very beginning, we have always been interested in sabotaging corporate culture.
This is Candide Lucida, whose nom de guerre culturel might have been plucked from the Abraham Lincoln Brigade. In working life, a bartender somewhere in Los Angeles, she's also part of the loose-knit organization called RT Mark, Art Mark, that backed the BLO.
They went into stores and bought Barbie and G.I. Joe children's toys and then performed surgery on them so that the Barbie dolls would say things like, kill, kill, fight, fight, and G.I. Joe would say, I want to go shopping.
Candide and her Art Mark co-conspirators didn't pull the prank themselves. They funded it by funneling $8,000 from an anti-war veterans group to the BLO. Hundreds of people contacted the Barbie Liberation Organization after the stunt, wanting to work with them, and the news media loved it.
We basically work on a sensationalist model. We try to create situations that the media likes.
This is Ray Thomas. Note the initials RT. Under another name, he's a San Francisco accountant. But in his secret identity, he's a frequent Art Mark spokesperson.
We attach ourselves to worker discontent within corporations, encourage people to perform sabotage actions on products under their control, and exploit the result for media coverage of Art Mark and its messages.
Art Mark has brokered a series of actions using their website to connect investors with pranksters. They financed the manufacture of this CD, Deconstructing Beck, illegally sampled from the sample-heavy music of popular recording artist Beck. In the SimCopter hack, they paid a disaffected programmer to insert images of men kissing and embracing into the macho shoot-'em-up game SimCopter. The money helped pay for the resulting period of unemployment. Another programmer, with support from Art Mark, modified the dirty word filter in a children's writing program so that at the stroke of a certain key combination, the table of forbidden words would be read aloud by the computer.
As a writer for the Wall Street Journal said, it cursed at them like a drunken stevedore.
And it was Art Mark that sponsored GWBush.com, an almost indistinguishable knockoff of the George Bush campaign website, but with a satirical twist that so annoyed the candidate, he called them garbage men and publicly declared there should be limits to freedom. High fives all around on that one. Then they did the same thing to New York Mayor and Senate candidate Rudolph Giuliani, who wisely didn't take the bait.
There's a Swiftian tradition of satire that doesn't reveal that it's a satire. And there's very little of that in American politics. And I think that's because activists, especially on the left, seldom believe that their audience is smart enough to really figure out that a satire is a satire.
On YesRudy.com, their parody of the Giuliani website, they have the New York mayor making the modest proposal that there were no human rights violations in baby Doc Duvalier's Haiti.
There are people who write to us and ask us, ask Rudy Giuliani why on earth he is spending so much time talking about how great the Duvalier regime is, and, you know, what on earth he thinks this has to do with New York.
Art Mark has helped fund the sabotage or subversion of dozens of corporate products. As a privately held corporation, Art Mark allows investors to participate in blacklisted or illegal cultural production with minimum risk.
No subversive movement would be complete without an ideology. And Art Mark has assembled an impressive, if sometimes baffling, critical superstructure. Their corporate-style video suggests that Artmark's so-called investors are shielded from direct liability for their pranks because Artmark is a corporation. Fat chance was roughly the verdict of one legal scholar we contacted. Nevertheless, there are some interesting cultural critics managing and distributing funds for Artmark. Andre Kudrescu, the well-known NPR commentator and latter-day Andre Breton, manages the Media Fund, which sponsored World Phone-In Sick Day.
Quite a few people phoned in sick, and immediately afterwards, 10,000 policemen in England called sick. I think if enough people did that, the machinery may falter.
RTMark, by the way, is a rough acronym for Registered Trademark, one of those oppressive symbols of corporate culture. Granted, it's hard to see how making a children's spelling program swear like a stevedore subverts the dominant ideology. Or maybe it isn't hard, but it's certainly irreverent, and some would say darn funny to boot. I'm John Rieger.